Hi, I'm Bob Buckhorn, the proud mayor of the city of Tampa, a city that most definitely has its swagger back. Tampa's time has come. This city is magnetic, and every year, we throw the world's greatest party, Gasparilla.
I have different areas I like to sit around and wait. I sit here a lot of times. A lot of people, they don't know for sure if we have a police officer on duty here or not. It's their own fault, because they can see me sitting here. I'm not trying to hide now. But, there is a few places where I sit around where you can hardly see me. And that's on my radar gun. I have it. I don't have it with me today.
What you want, because a pirate is free. You are a pirate.
you are a pirate.
A faint shadow appeared on the horizon. As it drew itself larger and larger, it reflected the darkness that was growing inside ourselves. Wasn't sorrow for the things we would lose, nor fear for the defiling of our friends and loved ones. No. Our darkness was more sinister and hardened and carved into weapons and more dangerous than anything on that ship. We mustered at my estate to have one last meal of tropical fruits and oats. We donned our swords and bandanas, women and men armed side by side. The final task was our secret weapon. A mixture of rum, tequila, and brandy that makes one utterly fearless in battle. And with that, the course of history would be revealed to us this day. The sound of cannons in the distance celebrated their ominous arpeggios as we headed towards the shore. The chaos that ensued is impossible to capture in 1,000,000 words. By nightfall, there were bodies lying in the street, and Uber was charging 100 times their normal rate. My years of training obviously helped me survive the day, but what brought us victory was our collective capacity to embrace our darkness as a city, digest its poison as one, and be purified for the year.
Can I get $5?
Yeah, you could get $5. You know how you could get $5?
How's that?
Huh? Go to work.
The Florida Man Podcast.
You just said you did Jesus' work, though. Jesus said, if you have it, why make him wait till tomorrow and you give it to him today?
Always here, but takes different forms, and today he is the infamous Gaspar.
Yo-ho.
And our guest today is Brian Sowen.
Hello.
Local comic, funny, funny guy.
Huh? I don't have a cough button.
I love how comics hate that.
Yeah, no pressure. Dance, monkey.
Yep. All right, well, we'll just get into it. Perhaps because Robert Mueller's investigation into possible collusion between Russia and Trump administration isn't enough, a concerned citizen is now demanding that we lock up the Disney Trump robot. Yesterday, a guest identified as my dad filmed himself yelling, "Lock him up," throughout the Trump bot speech, the Disney World Hall of Fame of Presidents. Hall of Presidents, right? So during the video, you can hear a cast member on the loudspeaker saying, sit down and be quiet. And another guest is yelling, "He's not real." After his outburst, he tweeted that he protested at the Hall of Presidents because I'll never get close in real life, probs. Hashtag lock him up. Even Disney World is political now, you know?
I mean, was there even anybody to upset? It's my experience. Nobody goes into the Hall of Presidents except like middle schoolers on a field trip or something.
Yeah. What's he even doing there?
Right? People that don't speak English, they're just there for the outlet malls and they stroll into Disney.
Yeah.
Well, especially if he's so triggered.
Taking a stand against robot kind. You know, if the Terminator ever comes back, that's the guy we need right there.
Absolutely.
Not afraid to take on the robots.
Terminator for president. We almost had that. If he was born here, he got to governor of California.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm sure the Schwarzenegger amendment's coming any day now.
Yeah, it'll be there. He did such a good job with California, I mean.
Right.
Shutting down every other day.
For some perspective, these sorts of outbursts are, while rare, also occurred when Obama's robot was on stage.
Oh, could you imagine we're in the South, too?
I'm glad we're fair and balanced here.
They should have them fight. I would go to the Hall of Presidents if we had, like, a robot president deathmatch kind of situation.
Ah, that'd be awesome.
Be fun. Put some boxing gloves on them.
Sure.
Celebrity deathmatch.
Yeah. My money would be on, I don't know, Teddy Roosevelt, maybe? He seems like a tough guy. Rough Rider.
If he has wheels. Oh, no, that's FDR.
FDR, yeah. Right.
Maybe like Ulysses Grant or somebody.
Sure. He was always drunk, though, right?
Yeah, well, throwing those haymakers.
Like a formidable guy.
Yeah. Honest Abe, you know, you got to watch out. He's a tall dude.
Got a big reach.
Yeah, that's right.
Epic name.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have been trying to silence this bot. Without just yelling at it, I guess they're doing a lot of boycotts and stuff. And I actually heard that
they're boycotting the Hall of Presidents.
I don't know. Like,
it's nine people a day.
I mean, and then I heard somebody did some protests at the Disneyland in California over the immigration stuff. Still not making sense. I don't know why you would do that.
What kind of immigration stuff? Like they go to It's a Small World and yell at the children bots?
I don't know. Like,
Swiss out of here.
I think Ben Shapiro pointed out that like this place that you're protesting is a private enterprise with a giant wall around it that they'll throw you out if they try to get in.
Don't mess with Mickey, man.
Oh, boy.
We've had some cold spots recently, some odd ones. And I guess it's gotten so cold at times in South Florida that iguanas start falling out of trees.
There's iguanas in the trees?
Oh, yeah. I think that's where they are most of the time.
Yeah, Miami's got a ton of them, right?
Huh. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they're giant, too. I've seen like 4-foot ones.
I've never seen one here, have you?
No. They don't run around here.
Oh, okay. I've been here 15 south. Years, I missed them?
Yeah. It's probably an odd one. But I guess, temperatures went below 40. And it's chilly enough to immobilize green iguanas, right? So they basically freeze in the trees, but then they come back to life later if it warms up, most of the time.
Most of the time.
If it gets cold enough, then they don't.
I thought it's like an elaborate attack plan from the iguanas, you know? They jump out of the trees right at you.
Yeah, it's not that. Yeah, it gets just too cold for them to move.
Is there blood or something? They gotta put some antifreeze in there?
Yeah. Sea turtles have the same effect, apparently, sometimes. And so there's been some.
Oh, yeah, they can't swim,
sea
right?
Sea turtles.
When it gets super cold. Yeah.
Stunned, I guess, is a good way to put it.
Funny if one of them fell out of the tree.
But yeah, we don't have a rescue program for these iguanas, so they just fall out of the trees. There was a. I'm gonna skip over all this. There's a good. Little anecdote about this. It says if you meet a semi-frozen iguana, treat it as though it could be alive.
Don't bury it.
This guy who's in Key Biscayne, he was originally from Central America, and down there, iguana is a delicacy, and
sure.
It's something that they're actually farmed for food. So This gentleman thought, wow, I just have a bunch of protein here.
It's like Christmas. They're falling from the trees, man.
And he's on Key Biscayne. He's sort of picking up all these iguanas that appear to be dead on the road that have fallen out of the trees. They turned gray and they weren't moving. And they were super cold when he touched them. So he put them in his vehicle. He's loading them up like he's stocking up for a big barbecue. And then he went back in the vehicle. The vehicle warmed up. And the iguanas started coming back to life. And all of a sudden, they started getting up and running around the car, and it caused an accident.
Yeah.
Nice.
I wish they elaborated on the accident more, because that sounds...
I see them flying all over the car. They probably weren't wearing their seatbelts. So what's the rescue plan for iguana? I mean, we
make
run around...
seatbelts out of them.
Yeah, right? We run around in little blankets and climb
sweaters.
The trees.
Sure.
Like, what... They got to come up with a plan. Well, what the hell are we going to do?
Nets under the tree.
Yeah.
Nets under every tree.
Just have a guy with a fishing net under every tree.
Or just a basket.
Or children.
Oh, yeah. Basket. Be good.
Children with baskets.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good. With cold hands.
We don't use enough child labor these days.
No.
All right. Political views aside. No. Keep them. A long-haired homeless man named Sand Flea Jesus stuffed a feline named Flounder into a bag and swiped him from Aloha Pet and Bird Hospital last month.
Is that a Disney movie?
That was really hard to
say. Sounds like it.
What was his name again? Sand Flea?
Sand Flea Jesus.
Oh, wow. The old SFJ.
So... The suspected cat burglar returned Tuesday night barefoot and wearing multicolored yoga pants. Successfully tried to enter the cat adoption rooms. The security video shows. He's setting everything free. This is his thing. He goes down to the beach and tries to dump people's bait buckets out and put the fish back in the ocean.
Really more like somebody. A Sand Flea Moses then, right?
Yeah, I think that probably a little more.
Yeah. You know? That's more... What do you say, apropos?
Yeah. Let my felines go.
He cuts people's fishing lines, tries to unhook dogs at the dog beach from their leashes.
Oh, I'd beat the shit out of him.
Oh, my God.
You can get this guy on the iguana problem.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, exactly. See, these things answer themselves.
Beaches down there.
Yeah, his thing is setting animals free. They shouldn't be changed or caged or whatever. He's not firing on all pistons. They say. On Tuesday, after the workers told Sand Flea Jesus to leave, he walked outside and shattered a hurricane-resistant window, possibly using a hammer. And they're like, I never thought he would do that, though. I guess he's like a regular around there. He's always bothering them. They never thought he was a violent person. He's very soft-spoken. I mean, he's trying to be Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody pictures Jesus going, oh, yeah. He fled on foot, and I guess police searched the area with negative results. So he's
how do you lose Sand Flea Jesus?
He walked out on the water, I assume.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, the window is like $1,200. I doubt he has that. And there's a whole bunch of animal lovers that are actually supporting him on social media.
Sand Flea Jesus saves.
What would Sand Flea Jesus do?
Insane. WWSFJ.
D. Rolls right off the tongue.
Right.
Maybe he can sell bumper stickers to get his $1,200 for the window.
So, yeah, I don't care about the cat. It's
you don't like cats?
Oh, I totally do, but we don't need to know that it's a 4-year-old gray tabby.
Oh.
You know?
Come on. All cats the same.
But Flounder was located a couple days later and adopted by a new family. So it's happily there.
So it had a good ending.
It's a successful plan, yeah.
Yeah, right?
Okay. This guy... Sheriff's Office commending a Winter Haven man for alerting authorities about a drunk driver on New Year's Eve. But the caller ended up being the one arrested in the DUI charges. My dad called 911 shortly before 9 p.m. to report that he was driving drunk all over Winter Haven. According to a
which is bragging.
Yeah. According to a call released by authorities on Friday, said, "I don't know. I'm drunk. I don't know where I'm at." That's what the the dispatcher asked his location, and that's what he said. I don't know. My dad eventually told dispatcher he was driving the wrong way near Publix in Winter Haven. He had been driving around all night trying to get pulled over. I think I'm going to get something to eat, and they can catch up with me.
It's a boar's head turkey.
This has been a running theme, man. Florida man is broke and hungry and drunk. And these things are a bad combination. So they found my dad on 6th Street. Holy shit, I actually know where that is. Near Avenue M. And his red Ford 150 was traveling south with half of the vehicle in the left turn lane and the other half in the northbound lane. After pulling the truck over, I ordered the driver to step out of the vehicle, and he just sat there and stared at me if he was confused.
He said, "About fucking time."
But like, he could have been confused from the start, but like, after all that, you figure he knows what's going on.
Yeah,
I think so.
He's probably sobered up a little, too.
Well,
he had a roadie.
He failed a few sobriety tests, I'll say that. And he initially told deputies he drank 2 beers, but later said it may have been 3 or 4. We can just probably assume that he's not being completely truthful there. But maybe, because he said he'd only slept 4 hours during the past 4 days, and it's because he had swallowed meth.
Florida man's a busy guy.
The meth is keeping him awake, so he needs a couple beers to take the edge off. Sure. It's safer driving that way.
Sure.
Right?
Although, then it's kind of surprising you wanted food.
Yeah, you're right.
There's more to this story than meets the eye.
Maybe he didn't eat in 4 days either.
Yeah, that's certainly possible.
So, a Florida contractor says he was attacked by a bobcat inside a woman's condo. But she said she ain't got no bobcat.
Last time I checked.
She's got cats. And this is the thing, right?
Well, so, thankfully, Jesus strikes again.
My dad filed a lawsuit in Tampa, alleging condo owner Christine illegally kept a bobcat inside her unit. He said that a bobcat scratched him, causing serious injuries after he entered the condo to conduct a fire safety inspection. My dad was in the condo alone, Christine said, something that shouldn't have happened. She said an employee from the building was supposed to accompany him inside.
Probably got messed up by like a house cat and then thought, man, that story's not going to fly. I got to make it bigger.
Yeah. he must have gotten hurt enough to like really, you know, but it did say he got permanent injuries. I don't know. I think he's just trying to get money.
Yeah. Well, if you can afford a bobcat, you can afford liability. Yeah.
Yeah. He saw dollar signs. Yeah, I guess he's seeking a jury trial in unspecific damages.
A jury trial? He won't even settle. He's like, I'm taking this bobcat all the way.
Yeah.
Screw Becca or whatever her name was.
You got to be careful. You get a couple more Florida men in the box there. They're not guilty.
You can't take no bobcat, kid. She's got 2 cats. One's like all black, so it's probably not that one. And the other one's like a little tortoiseshell color. So it's probably that one. She said, I'm not denying that he got scratched. It's a bad thing to say in the middle of a lawsuit. But she said, which one? I don't know. What was he doing to get scratched? I don't know. And when I came home that day, the cats were like cowering and scared in the corner.
I mean, sounds like she has some bigger life choices to get through than the lawsuit if she's got 5 cats.
It's 2. I think she's...
Oh, just 2. The bobcat and the tabby?
Right. Oh, yeah. Maybe she's got 3 because she's like legitimately hiding the existence of this bobcat.
That's going to be tough to hide, I would think.
Yeah, I don't think they go quietly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess if it's yours, you can probably do what you say.
Oh, yeah, they listen.
Like a regular cat does what you say.
Mine does. But people have those, like, lynxes and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they're almost...
They're on the border.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. But don't get a bobcat. And if you do, tell everybody before they come to your house.
Put a sign up.
Unless they're illegal, then don't tell anybody and don't let anybody over your house. Okay. We're going to keep on this theme. A Florida man has been arrested after breaking into his neighbor's home to pet the family cat.
Is that what he calls the wife?
It's just, you know, complete disregard for social norms. It's how we do it. Resident Brittany woke up in the middle of the night after her cat was startled. She says, when I opened my eyes, I could see the shadow of a man standing at the end of my bed. He was standing perfectly still. And I said, hello. And when I said hello, he dropped very slowly to the ground. And as soon as I saw the shadow move down to the ground, I knew somebody was there.
Brittany's quick.
I know. Brittany then flipped on the lights and noticed a man. Noticed a man crouched down on the floor at the foot of her bed, petting the cat. She then told the man to leave, in which he complied.
Excuse me, sir.
He's reasonable about it, I guess.
Yeah. Could you please leave?
I didn't know you didn't want me to do this.
Yeah. Didn't know I couldn't do that. Yeah. let's see. So my dad had to climb over a baby gate to exit Brittany's bedroom, allowing police to pull a fingerprint off the bedroom door frame. Guess they didn't really need it, though, because he attempted to come back to Brittany's home the following night and was promptly arrested. Like that kid.
Yeah.
So he's got charged with burglary and resisting an officer without violence.
Hmm. Maybe
I would like to see that interaction too.
And what happened the second night? He got back into Brittany's room. She's like, "Hello again."
Yeah.
Like, what went down?
I thought we went over this.
Was there a stakeout for the cat petter?
Oh, you mean I have to leave like permanently? I thought it was just for the night.
Yeah. See. Nobody owns the land. We're all children of the land, and your house is on the land, so...
I can rub your pussy.
Florida woman said a cat jumped into her car and attacked her while she was trying to escape the feline's fury, and she was run over by her own vehicle as it rolled in reverse.
was the cat driving?
Poor lady, but it's so funny, I can't... All right, so my mom said she left her car parked in grass in front of the house on Magnolia Avenue in West Cocoa on Friday, and she was preparing to drive off when the cat pounced into the car and attacked her. In an attempt to escape the cat's claws, my mom got out of the vehicle, forgetting that it was in reverse. According to MHP. It's very unusual to have an animal leap into a car and bite somebody like this and then get run over by your own car. The car rolled into the street.
Only happens two or three times a year, right?
Right.
As well. All in a day's work.
So did she have to run behind the car to get run over by it? Or how does that work? Because it's got to be moving if it's in reverse.
Yeah.
I know. Like,
she jumped out and
she got out. She ran behind and it was like chasing her for a little bit.
Right?
She's like, oh, no,
wait, no. 3 blocks, she got away.
I mean, because if it just like she stuck her, she started to get out and just
got like pulled under it.
Wheel just like caught her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that would do the damage that happened to her because it says she's got like airlifted to a hospital with critical injuries.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't happen with just your knee.
Ran her over.
That's awesome.
How in the fuck?
Cat's laughing its ass off.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
This is where you got to make sure people pet their cats, otherwise they go crazy. Start running people over with cars, and who knows what's next.
So, Pasco Sheriff's pilot lands a helicopter and confronts a laser pointing suspect. They really don't have a lot to do, I guess. But I know how dangerous that can be.
Right? Sure, yeah. Shooting at the planes and stuff.
They were assisting deputies who responded to a barricaded suspect call. They left that. providing ground cover for ground units into the barricaded suspect's home when the helicopter was targeted by a laser pointer. He said it blinded us temporarily for a couple seconds. Extremely painful, Bowen said of the light. Once we came to, we saw a couple more flashes from the laser, and pointer was causing enough of a distraction that Bowman was compelled to pull away from the assignment. But in flight way, he tracked the laser pointer suspect and noticed a parking lot about a quarter mile from the suspect's location that was large enough to land the helicopter. He got down, he walked over to the suspect's house and arrested him.
Wouldn't they have a radio and just be like, hey, you send a car over there, or one of you guys on foot, just take a little walk? Yeah. I mean, they're barricaded in the house. They're not going anywhere.
Now I want to know what happened with the barricade. Did he get away? Because
the helicopter guys are there.
He was
going, he was like, oh, I got to do something.
Yeah, right? Finally got to pull my gun.
So I immediately took him into custody, and that's when he was a little confused on who I was. I explained that I was the deputy pilot for the sheriff's office and wanted to know where my helicopter was.
Well, you'd be a little suspicious when Maverick showed up at your door, right?
It has been charged with the misuse of laser devices, a third-degree felony.
Wow.
Third degree. So what is that, like a $4 fine?
I think.
Felony, you get up to a year in jail for a third degree.
Yeah.
Well, at minimum a year, I think.
Wow. Oh.
I mean, they don't have to throw you in jail. They can give you just a fine, but it's on the table.
So that's embarrassing to tell your cellmate.
What are you in for? Laser pointer.
This is a big one. 3 watch batteries. A lot of power.
I sent the helicopter unit after me.
Back when that Silk Road stuff was going on, you could order crazy lasers on there, like enough to like ignite fires.
Right? Oh, that'd be fun.
So you could like be sitting across from the room from somebody and then just like light their ass on fire.
How many of those did you
buy? That's the first thing I thought of,
You're not going to shoot down planes. You're going to light somebody's ass up.
Yeah. That's pretty much the only. And I was like, oh, maybe you can light cigarettes with it. That'd be cool.
That would be pretty dope.
You go to the bar and there's a bunch of burn marks in the ceiling.
Yeah. But I wonder how long it would take. Like, probably like more time than it would to smoke a cigarette.
Probably.
Well, this guy... I love how he is so gung-ho. He's like, it was extremely exciting and extremely satisfying. A lot of times we don't get to interact in a sense on the ground with the deputies. So being able to, from start to finish, follow this through and be able to successfully apprehend the subject was very satisfying.
Well, now I know why he left the other scene. He's like, I got to arrest somebody one of these days.
Exactly. He's like, this is my chance.
Then he didn't know how to fill out the paperwork.
Yeah. Gary.
Now, did he throw him in the back of the helicopter for the ride to the jail?
Because that would kick ass.
Kind of cool, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be worth the fine.
That's the new game. Let's get arrested by helicopter police. Yeah.
Right?
Except cost you a year in jail or trying to play.
Well, if probably you're good at it.
Probably more each time. Florida man says he took a couple sips of water before realizing there was a dead frog in his cup. And this was out Waffle House in Tallahassee. Absolutely eaten there.
They charge extra for the frogs, I think.
Yeah. They go gigging for you and they throw them in there.
Oh, yeah, frog gigging.
I don't think anybody north of South Carolina knows what that is.
Nope, I grew up in New York. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Gigging? Oh, man, yes, it's giant frog hunt in South Carolina. We don't do it here, thank goodness.
Like hunting with what?
Spears.
Oh, wow.
What else would you hunt a frog with?
I don't know. You know, you could probably use like a fork. Yeah. Use a spear.
Frog legs, man. You're good. But this wasn't frog legs.
There's a whole frog, yeah.
In my husband's drink, there's a whole frog just floating around in the water.
Doing the backstroke.
Wow.
I mean, like, the server had to give it to him like that. That's crazy. You have hairs in your food sometimes, maybe a little piece of plastic from packaging, but this is an amphibian, my mom said.
Oh, very specific.
Yeah, right? Not your average Waffle House bear. You definitely lose your appetite immediately.
Yeah. Oh.
Well.
Is it a poisonous frog? Might be some benefits.
Yeah. Oh, you trip balls?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Something throw it up on that Waffle House
bucks now.
Tripping balls on your frogging gig?
That's funny how you say it.
I know. I screwed it all up. I butchered the hell out of it.
She She filed a complaint with Waffle House that, you know, the staff, she said, muttered an apology. I mean, what can you say? Like,
yeah.
Like, oh,
oops.
Yeah. Again?
I don't know.
Third time this week. They keep falling off the upper shelf.
4 days after the incident, the health department went there and inspected the restaurant. Found 11 violations from residue, grease buildup, to food at improper temperatures. But
not frogs.
11 is not that.
Not bad for a Waffle House. I thought about the same thing. Like, yeah. That's super clean.
Yeah.
That manager probably got a raise. They're like, good job.
Probably
pissed off all the other managers because he threw off the curve.
And read Waffle House's statement. We are concerned about this claim and are currently investigating the circumstances.
How much investigation is really? I mean, the frog's gone now, right? What are you investigating at this point?
Just paperwork.
Yeah.
Unless you got tadpoles swimming around in the water cooler.
Our corporate team is working with the local operators to determine the facts. Based on what our manager saw at the time, and after reviewing the video, there are still some issues that we're looking into.
That's when you quit your job, if you have to investigate frogs.
That'll be fun. Imagine if you're like, guys, I got to do some research. I'm in South America.
I got to go to Argentina.
Serving quality food and delivering a quality experience are the responsibilities we take seriously.
Oh, come on.
They ripped that off from Denny's?
Their responsibility is serving food at 4 a.m. when I'm tanked.
Yeah.
That's their responsibility.
Yeah, the experience is not my first. I don't go in there going, oh, the atmosphere of this Waffle House is.
They're like the only ones open during the hurricanes, though, so that's nice.
It's like that waitress has beautiful meth mouth. I bet you my pancakes will be good.
Waffle House prides themselves on never closing, and I heard for a while FEMA actually had like a Waffle House index. I think there was three stages. Normal Waffle House operation means everything's okay. Waffle House limited menu means, you know, things have probably gone completely to shit. And if Waffle House is closed, that's like Armageddon.
It's the apocalypse.
Yeah.
DEFCON 1. Okay, so we're going to the St. Lucie County Clerk. They have the x-ray and metal detecting machines. So if you go through theirs, it might behoove you to leave your marijuana at home.
Well.
It's a tip that my dad may take under advisement following a November 20th incident, according to information and arrest affidavit. At the clerk's facility downtown in Fort Pierce, deputy reported being assigned to scan and check people through the x-ray and metal detection machines. A man later identified as my dad entered and was told to empty all the items from his person before going through the machine.
His purse?
His person.
Oh.
So it set off, and so they determined he had metal items in two pockets. So he emptied the pockets, and one he had quarters, and then a plastic bag that had weed in it.
And metal?
Like,
why would you take that out of your pocket?
Yeah, why would you just take the quarters out?
Right. Or maybe not.
He was in California, I guess.
Carry him in a Sucrets tin or something.
Yeah, some. All right, so in the bag, investigators say, was marijuana, a green vegetative substance that some roll into cigarettes and smoke for euphoric feelings in a process known as getting high.
People do what now?
I can't believe that's in here. Wait, what is it again? The active item in marijuana produced by the cannabis sativa plant. This guy just didn't have anything to write about. So
yeah.
He's filling the article.
I got 150 words left.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard of marijuana.
Marijuana is frowned on by authorities to the extent that possessing it in many states, including Florida, is illegal.
Wow.
Thus, my dad is arrested on charge of. Maybe they're like, maybe that guy didn't know all this stuff.
They're explaining it to him.
They're obviously teaching. People out there that need to know this.
You know you're not allowed to have that. I'm not allowed to have what now?
Marijuana what?
People do what with it?
Okay. And this is our final one of the day. Doctors in Miami face an unusual ethical dilemma when an unconscious, deteriorating patient was brought into the emergency room with the words, "Do not resuscitate," across his chest. The 7-year-old man was taken earlier this year to Jackson Memorial Hospital, where the doctors made their startling discovery, the chest tattoo that seemed to convey the patient's end-of-life wishes. The word "not" was underlined, and the tattoo included a signature.
San Flea Jesus.
Wow. That guy was thinking ahead.
Yeah.
It left the medical team grappling with a myriad ethical and legal questions. So this one isn't even that hilarious, but it's so interesting. So should they honor it?
Why was he brought in?
He was
fucked up,
out, I guess.
Wow.
And going down, deteriorating. Unconscious and deteriorating. Maybe it'll
say. That's it. You know, presumably, even though it had its signature, he's not the one that put it there. Somebody else would have done the tattoo.
They got to track down the tattoo artist.
Maybe he put his signature on there too as a witness.
That's funny.
The Florida Man tattoo DNR request produced more confusion than clarity, given concern about its legality and likely unfounded beliefs that tattoos might represent permanent reminders of regretted decisions made while the person was intoxicated.
Yeah.
So, Gregory Holt, a critical care physician and lead author of the paper, said, "I think a lot of people in medicine have joked around about getting such a tattoo, but then when you finally see one, it's like, holy shit." So,
in his medical opinion.
I'm paraphrasing.
Holy shit.
So the shock hits you again because you actually have to think about it.
Thinking.
Yeah. It hurts. So this Florida man, he had a history of pulmonary disease. Okay. So he was living in a nursing home. Oh, well, no wonder he didn't want to be resuscitated.
Yeah, who'd want to live in a nursing home?
Kill me already.
Yeah.
All right, so he must have escaped because he was found intoxicated and unconscious on the street.
He's on the lam.
Florida man can't be contained. Have you noticed that?
this guy is trying to go out on his own terms. He arrived with no ID, no family or friends, no way to tell doctors whether he wanted to live or die. Yeah, this is like that quintessential...
Yeah.
Situation.
No, I think it's the underlining that really sells it.
Yeah. Do not
resuscitate.
Or it was all in caps. It was like angry.
Yeah. He had an infection that led to septic shock.
Was it from the tattoo?
Oh, that'd be funny.
Because then this could be like the most elaborate murder ever.
When his blood pressure started to drop, they called that guy Holt, who specializes in pulmonary disease. I thought he specialize in this kind of shit. They first agreed not to honor the tattoo, invoking the principle of not choosing an irreversible path when faced with uncertainty.
You imagine how pissed off that guy would be when he woke up?
Yeah. It's like, shit, I gave myself septic.
What do
and
I
everything.
Have to do?
Yeah.
Underline it twice?
They gave him intravenous fluids, antibiotic pressure, antibiotics and blood pressure medication. So they're trying to save him. But they struggle the most with the decision to hook him up to the machine that would breathe for him. I guess that's what it really means when you're like, don't resuscitate. We had a Florida man I couldn't talk to, Holt said to them. I really wanted to see whether the tattoo truly reflected what he wanted.
Turn it back long enough to be like, are you serious about that? Yeah? Okay. Turn it back off.
Yeah. So doctors treating the elderly patient knew of a cautionary tale published in 2012, told of a 59-year-old patient who had DNR tattooed across his chest, but he said he wanted life-saving measures to be taken in the event that he needed them. So he did want to be resuscitated, but
that's a bad tattoo then.
Yeah, that's not very.
They asked him why he had the tattoo. Told the doctors that he lost a bet playing poker.
Put like an asterisk at the end.
I mean, who hasn't been in that situation,
right?
It raises you $50. You don't have it. You're like, well, I get a DNR tattoo.
Yeah, and who's like, dude, that's golden.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah,
man.
Full house.
said the consultant. Determined that the doctors didn't need to be entirely dogmatic and could presume the tattoo was an accurate reflection of the patient's wishes. So, according to the study, after reviewing the patient's case, the ethics consultants advised us to honor the Florida man's do not resuscitate
DNR tattoo, and they suggest that it was most reasonable to infer that the tattoo expressed an authentic preference. What might be seen as caution could also be seen as standing on ceremony, and that the law is sometimes nimble enough to support patient-centered care and respect for patient's best interest. Do you know what that phrase means, standing on ceremony?
Like, I guess tradition. That they were worried about a formality or something, that, you know, we should wake him up and ask him just in case, but...
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, no. Not this guy. Not in Florida.
He probably murdered the doctor. He sounds like a badass. Escaping from nursing homes and shit.
Waking up in ditches. Yeah. Or not waking up in ditches.
Florida man's gonna die how he lived.
He seemed very serious about this. Said of the Florida Man's tattoo.
The guy, he was unconscious. Yeah. How serious can you seem?
What's the tone in the tattoo?
But it also seemed that he didn't trust that.
It's written in an angry handwriting.
It's not some calligraphy font.
All this confusion, they say, we just need a better system.
Or if you have that tattoo, you're going
to
die.
It's a pretty good system if you just listen to
the tattoo.
If you see a tattoo, just go ahead and
follow the directions. Who's that? That was, Brian Regan, that had the bit about there's directions on Pop-Tarts.
Well, I mean, you know, I can kind
of... Three steps.
I've seen people throw a Pop-Tart into the microwave without taking it out of the wrapper first. And like,
oh, brilliant. Sparking. Well, it just cooks faster.
Yeah, or just eat it raw.
Yeah, so with all respect to Brian Regan, some people probably need those directions.
All right, getting invaded by our own rogue kitty here.
We gotta get Brittany to get her cat back.
Thank you guys so much for joining me.
Absolutely.
Again.
Yeah, thanks.
And you guys out there too, and I'm so glad everybody liked it. So we will do this again as soon as I fucking feel like it.
This podcast is produced with little regard for feelings in general by the Reverend Corey Cahill John Ignatius Lavelle. The music has been accessed by Oracle and channeled to the Reverend Corey Cahill John Ignatius Lavelle. He then recorded and produced it. Our sound engineer is the Reverend Corey Cahill John Ignatius Lavelle. There is one other guy that does stuff. In no way should any of the content of this program be considered legal advice or simply advice. Don't be dumb. Okay, that's advice.